You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Tackling topics with no hesitations. Yeah. Live from Packernet. You know what's in store. Been here breaking down plays since I could keep score. Reviewing guard centers, linemen in sight.
So, to be clear, I do not write these lyrics. I love how cheesy these are. That's part of the reason I like them so much. I'm sorry if you don't. You're just going to have to get used to it. But I was like, okay, fine. I got the one. Like, this is pretty cool. We're talking about interior offensive line, so like guard centers, whatever. And then at the end, he's like, Packernet's my life. And I'm like, oh, that sounds bad. Like, biggest, most arrogant loser ever. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Packernet is your life. That's right. Anyways, obviously, as I'm sure you can guess, we're going to have to change things up a little bit because the draft is just flying up and I'm just not able to keep up. Over promise, under deliver. That's how we do things here at Packernet. That's how I do things here. I don't mean to put that on the other folks. But you know what? I'm not even going to tell you because I'm going to say it and then I'm not going to do it and it's just going to be the same thing again. So let's just do what we're doing today and we'll see how it goes. Not promising you people nothing. But I do want to talk about interior offensive line. Man, I'm trying to think how to do this now. Because now I'm up in my own head about what if I can't actually accomplish it. Now maybe I should combine it. Nope. We're doing it. All right, so we're going to continue on with what we've been doing here. Top 10 interior guys. It's a little bit more iffy because I've been using Dane Brugler, and Brugler separates centers and guards. So there's 10, but it's not an exact order because after a while he's just like, I don't know, fourth round grade. He is like a top 100, and then outside of that, it's whatever. But we're doing centers and guards today. We'll get through as many as we possibly can. Before we launch into it, though, please remember to, and I got to remember to remind everybody, but fill out our NFL draft form. Very, very simple to figure out. Just, you know, like I said, do yourself a mock draft, the one that you think makes the most sense, the most realistic mock you can do, and then go check out our form, fill it out, let us know who gets drafted, when, and where. We've got a little link at the top that has the names, so just copy and paste the name. That way we make sure there isn't a spelling issue there, because it gets imported into Excel, and Excel does not like names spelled wrong. But we're going to grade those at the end of the draft, and the two highest scores are going to get $125 gift cards to Brazilian Steakhouse Fogo, one of the nicest restaurants you've probably ever been to. Certainly one of the nicest I've ever been to. So very, very excited to have them on board and be able to offer that as a giveaway. Very, very nice of them. So if you're interested in the meantime, you could obviously go check them out if you have one near you or semi-near you. They've got a deal right now, Fogo 44. So just put that in the request line when you're making your reservation, and you can get that all-you-can-eat dinner for $44, which is a pretty remarkable deal. All right, let's get into this. Let's just start position by position. Let's go ahead and do it that way. Let's start with the centers. We'll start with Tanner Bordellini. Technically, I think that's going to put us at 11, but I really wanted to put him on here, not only because he's a Wisconsin guy, but my son went through and did his interior guys, and after Jackson Powers Johnson, Tanner Bordellini was his favorite. So Also, who isn't interested? He's a very interesting guy with you when you look at his RAS and everything. I think he's worth talking about. Plus, as you'll see in the notes, he grew up a Green Bay Packers fan, so we got to talk about the guy. But Tanner Bordellini of Wisconsin, 6'4", 303, grew up in Kewaunee, Wisconsin, 21.85 years old. Nickname is Bort, Tanner Bort Bordellini. Oldest of three kids, two boys, one girl, grew up in Kewaunee, which is 30 miles east of Green Bay on the shores of Lake Michigan. Grew up hunting, fishing, and camping. And has been a lifelong Green Bay Packers fan. Started playing football at the Pee Wee level and began his high school football career at Kewaunee High School. He played as a left tackle starting in his freshman year. He later took on roles as a defensive tackle and played both positions in his last three high school seasons. As a junior, he was named the Conference Player of the Year on both offensive and defensive lines. His senior year accolades included first-team All-State honors as a left tackle and Conference Defensive Player of the Year. Bordellini was also active in basketball, averaging 13.3 points and 10.3 rebounds per game as a senior and competed in track and field, notably in shot put. Initially considered undersized at 240 pounds, he was advised to gain weight to compete at the Division I level. After increasing his weight, he received offers from various FCS schools and FBS schools, including North Dakota, Syracuse, and others. Despite initially exploring other options due to Wisconsin's full roster to commitments, Bordellini accepted an offer from Wisconsin after impressing coaches with his physical development. Some of his strengths, noted for above-average burst, lateral quickness, and ability to engage effectively in various blocking schemes, effective in his using his hands, maintaining control over defenders, and executing complex blocks. High football IQ, ability to make quick decisions at the line and demonstrated leadership in communicating offensive line calls, experienced in playing multiple positions across the offensive line. Weaknesses, short arm length leads to difficulties in full leveraging against defenders, particularly in sustaining blocks against long-armed opponents. He has a history of knee issues, including a partially torn meniscus and a right knee sprain, which caused him to miss games. So, I think we covered it all, but a little bit more in depth on the injury history. 2022, missed two games due to partially torn meniscus and damaged cartilage behind his right knee. In 2021, he missed three games with a right knee sprain. All right, scout quotes. Really good athlete, not real physical, just very, very smooth. His strength is just okay. He can hold up. He's got some anchor, but he's really good as a zone type blocker. Really good technician. Second scout, tested well, athleticism to spare. He lacks length to sustain, plays tough, he's physical. The length, to me, is an issue. I see him as a center only, but he's played other sports. His shotgun snaps weren't always consistent. I've never heard a center get complaints about snapping. I could see him going in the third round. I would go higher. I wouldn't go higher than the fifth, said the second scout. Third scout says, I'm not sure he isn't better than Jackson Powers Johnson. That's crazy. But he's got 31.5-inch arms. He's probably a center only, but he can be a pretty good center. He's expected to go right now in the third or fourth round. So as far as my thoughts, let me just create a little category or a little bucket here. I do like Bordellini. I really do. I like him for the same reason that I really like Zach Frazier. The athleticism is incredibly important, and they both display that. I know you can look at Zach Frazier's RAS, and it's not really there, but the movement ability is kind of what I've been looking for in offensive linemen in particular, and these guys have it. I guess my biggest fear is, on some level though, as much as athleticism is nice, you have to be a center, which is to say you have to be able to, at a baseline minimum, you got to be able to stand between the guards and not let anybody push you or push past you. And I do have some concerns about both of those guys. You know, when you get up against the best of the best top line, you know, type of guys, I worry that essentially what it is that I'm looking for and carving out as sort of my guys end up being like Garrett Bradbury of the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings drafted Garrett Bradbury in the first round because he's a really athletic center. He can reach, he can get up to the next level, but he's not a good center. He's not strong. He gets the crap beat out of him in just these mano-a-mano situations. He gives up an ungodly amount of pressures for a center, which is a position that does not typically give up a lot of pressures. So I really like these types of guys, but I just have concerns. Do they have the baseline minimum to get the job done and just stop big, massive, hulking, strong defensive tackles. Now, I almost prefer Bortolini when it comes to the athleticism because it kind of verifies, you know, the athletic necessity. But at the same time, I feel like Zach Frazier is just a better center, in my opinion, or interior guy, I guess you can say, in terms of the athleticism. But also, I trust that he can just do the job. But there are concerns for both of them. Speaking of, Zach Frazier's next, number three center on Dane Brugler's list. 6 foot West Virginia, 6 foot two, 315 pounds from Fairmont, West Virginia. He is 22.66 years old. By the way, Tanner Bortolini, the number five center for Bob McGinn. Zach Frazier, the number two center. But Zach Frazier from Fairmont has a younger brother named Brady. His father, Raymond, introduced him to football during his peewee days. His mother, Heather, comes from a family of wrestlers, including his grandfather, Donald Courtney, and three uncles, Chris, Ryan, and Jeff. All right, then. Zach attended Fairmont Senior High School, excelling in football and wrestling. Go figure. He started in varsity football for 4 years, playing both defensive tackle and offensive line positions. He achieved All-State honors multiple times and led his team to a state championship in 2018. As a wrestler, he was a four-time state champion and was named the 2019-2020 West Virginia Wrestler of the Year. He graduated with a 4.5 GPA and was a four-time academic All-Big 12 honoree. Zach was a three-star recruit, ranked as the number 13 center in the 2020 class, the number two recruit in West Virginia. He received offers from multiple universities, including Stanford, Louisville, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia. He committed to West Virginia on Father's Day in 2019. Zach married his high school sweetheart, Stephanie, in May of 2023, with five teammates serving as groomsmen. His father played college football and also coached at the youth and high school levels. Some of the strengths: solid frame with strong trunk and base, enabling effective leverage, exhibits quickness to achieve and maintain proper leverage due to his wrestling background, capable of moving opponents in the run game with his hand strength and upper body power, demonstrates resilience and dedication, notably in his rehabilitation from injuries, high football IQ, making him a knowledgeable and capable player. Negatives: arms appear shorter in practical play compared to measurements, sometimes overextends on reach blocks, leading to less effective second-level engagement, timing issues in pass protection that affect his consistency, limited by physical traits that confine him to playing center in various NFL schemes. Zach suffered a broken left lower leg on Thanksgiving weekend in 2023, which ended his college playing career prematurely and affected his participation in the draft process. Some of the scouts' quotes: "You can see that in his game," observed one scout, highlighting Zach's wrestling background as a strength in his football play. "He's going to be a value pick. He's in that Ben Jones, David Andrews, Tyler Biadasz world," noted another scout, comparing him to known NFL centers. "He's definitely Creed Humphrey," stated a third scout, emphasizing efficiency and balance. Dang, that's crazy. "He doesn't do anything for me," said the final scout. You got one guy saying he's Creed Humphrey. See, this is what I'm saying. This is, again, there is nothing perfect about this process. But it does, as a more stats-centric or stats-minded person, it does crack me up when people get all high and mighty about the film, because you've got guys at the top of their game watching the exact same film. One calls him Creed Humphrey. One says he does nothing for me. You know what I like about stats? They're exact. They're exact. The only question is, how do you best use them? You got people at the top of their game. They can't even decide if he's Creed Humphrey or garbage based on the film. Come on, man. Anyways, again, I like Zach Frazier. I full disclosure, he is maybe my favorite interior guy, period. I certainly understand the excitement of Fatanu. I really like him a lot. Fatanu might be ahead of him. Graham Barton would be another one that is probably ahead of him. But outside of that, including Jackson Powers Johnson, I think Zach Frazier is probably my favorite. Again, there is sort of a question in the back of my mind: can he handle the physical side in the NFL? But would I take him over Jackson Powers Johnson? The answer is yes. The number two center, by the way, speaking of, is Jackson Powers Johnson. Now, part of the problem with these lists is it really depends where everybody puts him. The reason he's number two is because Graham Barton is put as the number one center. Well, if you view Graham Barton as a guard or maybe a tackle, which I doubt, but whatever, that would change the list. But number two is Jackson Powers Johnson. He is 6'3", 328 pounds out of Draper, Utah, 21.26 years old. He is the youngest of four kids, consisting of two girls and two boys from a blended family in a suburb of Salt Lake City. His mother remarried when he was three, and he was raised by his stepfather, James Johnson. He initially went by Jackson Light, but legally changed his name at 18 to Jackson James Powers Johnson to honor his mother's maiden name and his bond with his stepfather. Jackson was involved in multiple sports from a young age, starting with basketball and wrestling. His first passion was baseball, making all-star team at age 7. At age 9, he began playing football and on the advice of his first coach, Sean Hagen. He attended Corner Canyon High School, starting on the varsity football as a freshman and contributing to three consecutive state championships. He was a three-year team captain and earned all-state honors and excelled in baseball and wrestling. Ranked as a four-star recruit, the number 14 internal lineman nationally, and the number 3 recruit in Utah for the 2021 class, he received scholarship offers from several universities, committed to Oregon in his junior year. Some of the strengths: possesses an NFL-ready frame with quick movements and solid pass protection skills, leading to 0 sacks allowed in 2023. Praised for his toughness, versatility across interior line positions, and leadership qualities, his style and approach are likened to Ryan Kelly, a previous Remington Award winner and first-round NFL pick. Weaknesses: inconsistent in using his lower body strength and sustaining blocks post-contact. Faced discipline issues with penalties, particularly his junior year, concerns over his injury history, and lack of full starting season highlight potential risks. So that injury history includes a hamstring pull. He pulled out of the 2024 Senior Bowl due to a hamstring injury. He missed games due to various injuries, including groin, hip issues, and multiple concussions during his collegiate career. Some of the quotes from different scouts: arrogant, not your typical offensive lineman mentality. Ready-made, throw him in there and he'll go to the Pro Bowl. He'll kick people's you-know-what. Going to get overdrafted, the kid is a little bit of a head case. Quirky, depends how he came off in interviews. Plays football the way it's supposed to be played, tough. He's a P-word, so what? You know who he reminds me of? Who he's really coming off as? Richie Incognito. Big, massive, mauling human being. Real dirtbag. Like, just actually crazy. Not just a big talker on the field. This guy would be in prison if it was not for football, and potentially even with football. Might be slightly overstating it, but that comes immediately to mind. Final quote says, that combination of strength, movement, grit, and toughness, there's zero chance you miss on that guy. It's funny. Scout 3 says, going to get overdrafted. And then two guys say, you can't miss. I don't know, man. I can't fully get there. Obviously, he's strong, which is cool. I just feel like for the kind of scheme the Packers have, that's going to have him just try to get out and sprint and catch linebackers and stuff. I just don't think that that's his thing. He wants to stay inside and just brawl with people. And good for him for doing that. That's going to be fun. I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if the Packers think he can do it, I'll get excited about it. But I don't think it's going to be a thing. We'd probably have to take him in the first round. I don't want to take a center in the first round, especially this one. He's a big guy that's not massively mobile, in my opinion. He's got injury history issues. He's got character concerns. I don't think the Packers are going to do it, and I don't want them to. But anyways, why don't we take our first break? We'll move on to Graham Barton when we come back, and then switch over to guards, and we'll round this thing out. But we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
All right, Graham Barton, listed as the number one center for Dane Brugler, listed as the number two guard for Bob McGinn. Let me just get it off my chest right away. I am very much in on Graham Barton. The problem I always have with guys like this is it's really hard to watch tackles and say how good they're going to be as a guard or as a center because it just is different. We can try to simplify it and say, you know, yeah, he's got shorter arms and he's not as athletic, therefore great guard. I mean, whatever. But I watched him and he would be one of my favorite tackles. I loved watching him play tackle. My first thought is this is Elgton Jenkins. This is Zach Tom. If you're telling me this guy's going to be a really good interior player, I'd be happy with him at tackle. Now, the issue with him at tackle, I looked into this, his arm length, obviously, but it would be a tie for the shortest arm length of any tackle in the entire class. I think it's like, I don't know, 32 and a half or 32 and three quarter inch. I don't know exactly, but it's well under what would be desired. But I still, man, I think you bring him in, you say he's probably going to play on the interior, but he might have a shot. But I just think he's that guy. I mean, I think, and the Packers love that. Again, they got Elgton Jenkins. Dude can play tackle. He can play guard. He can play center. They got Zach Tom. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He can play center. Graham Barton is the same guy. And his RAS is like a 9.9. It's through the roof. It just feels like the pick for the Packers. It really does. Anyways, Graham Barton out of Duke, 6'5", 311. I know I already said the Clemson corner. I think he's another one that checks a lot of boxes with the exception of size. But anyways, 6'5", 311 out of Brentwood, Tennessee, 21.9 years old. So Brentwood, a suburb of Tennessee, began playing football in fourth grade after persuading his mother, Heather, to let him participate in organized football. He attended Ravenwood High School in Brentwood, where he started as a lacrosse player before switching focus to football. He grew significantly during his high school years, playing both offensive and defensive lines. Initially weighed 215 pounds as a sophomore right tackle, grew to 255 pounds by his junior year as a left tackle, earning All-State honors in 2018 and 2019. Led his team to a 13-2 record and a state championship game appearance in 2019. He was a three-star recruit, number 41 guard nationally, number 19 recruit in Tennessee for the 2020 class. Received around a dozen scholarship offers from Power 5 programs, including SEC and Big Ten schools. Committed to Duke in April of 2019 under then-head coach David Cutliffe. He is a public policy major at Duke, interned at U.S. Senator Tom Tilley's office in Raleigh during the summer of 2023, opted out of the 2023 bowl game to participate in the 2024 Senior Bowl. Tom Tillis? Tillis. Some of his strengths noted for outstanding play strength, effective hand usage, and ability to maintain balance and positioning in run blocking. Displays mobility and skills at the second level. Good pass protection movement and strong work ethic. Praised for playing throughout through his injuries. Weaknesses, concerns include shorter than ideal arm length, lack of lateral range, and tendencies to incur penalties. He does have a lot of penalties, by the way. We'll get to that at another time. Due to timing issues with his hands, also noted for over-eagerness in run plays, leading to inconsistencies, missed games due to injuries. Let's skip down to that. Experienced multiple injuries throughout his college career, including a concussion and a left knee sprain. Underwent surgery for a labrum tear in his left shoulder in November of 2023, affecting his participation in the draft process. Some of the quotes, Riley Leonard, quarterback, described Barton as the hardest worker on the team. The scout's thoughts, first scout says, he did a lot of center work at pro day and it looked like he'd been doing it the entire season. He's going to be a really, really good player for a long time. His rocket is ascending. Exceptional makeup, super smart, very self-aware. Second scout says, critical about potential at center due to height, suggested better fit at guard. Third scout compared Barton to Peter Skoronski, noting Barton's superior movement and agility. So I will say, if you forced my hand and told me that he's definitely an interior guy, I think Graham Barton is probably my top interior guy. I think the consensus is, let me see if I can say his name right, Fa'otanu. His name is Troy Toisi Fa'otanu, whatever. And I do like him, and we'll get to him momentarily. I understand he's a big, strong guy and all that, but I think Graham Barton would be my guy. I really liked watching him. All right, let's move on to the guards here. Let's actually start with Isaiah Adams. He is the number 7 guard on McGinn's board, number 6 for Dane Brugler. But Isaiah Adams, Illinois, 6'4", 315 pounds, 6th-year senior out of Ajax, Ontario, 23.7 years old. One of 4 kids, originally focused on hockey and basketball, winning the 2015 U12 Ontario Basketball Championship with the Durham City Bulldogs. Returned to football, inspired by watching CFL's Toronto Argonauts. Initially played on the defensive line before switching to offensive line, influenced by the movie The Blind Side, and studied the position via YouTube. Attended Father Donald McClellan's Catholic Secondary School in Pickering High School in Ajax. Played football, basketball, rugby, and ran track. Starred for the Durham Dolphins in football, named an OVFL All-Star in 2016 as an offensive tackle. Began as a no-star recruit. Played initially at Wilfrid Laurier University, Ontario. Transferred to Garden City Community College, Kansas, where he earned NJCAA First-Team All-American honors at left tackle, eventually committed to the University of Illinois, chosen over offers from Arizona, Colorado, Kansas, Minnesota, Syracuse, and West Virginia. Strengths, thickly built with long arms and solid size, quick to set balance and pass protection, effective at point of attack, excellent vision for adjustments on stunts and switch off blocks, noticeable impact in the run game due to body force. Voted as a 2023 team captain at Illinois, showing leadership, described as mentally tough and a jerk on game days by head coach Brett Bielema. Durable, starting every game over 2 seasons at multiple positions. Weaknesses, tends to be upright mid-slide, losing footing against leverage rushers. Struggles with quick recoveries in space, particularly in pulls. Penalized 15 times over the last 2 seasons. Concerns about age, as he will turn 24 before his first NFL training camp. Some of the quotes from scouts, probably starts his career as a 6th or 7th lineman, but he could ascend to be a starter. Second scout says, guys are falling in love with him. They like his size. Played guard in 2022. Not bad. Showed toughness. Could steer guys. Control them. Still, athletically, he doesn't have enough that you want. 4th round. Recognized as strong, smart player with a lunch pail mentality. So, Adams, for me, is in the exact opposite bucket of the guys that I like. He is a big, massive, strong human being. He can't move, man. I mean, you watch him try to run somewhere and it's just, maybe he's just not trying. I don't know, but it's like, he looks like he's halfway jogging. Maybe it'll be fine. I don't know. If nothing else, again, you put him in there and he doesn't move. So I don't hate him. I just don't know if it's a great fit. Next up, we've got Pooney, number 3 guard for Dane Brugler. number three center for Bob McGinn. But played at Kansas, 6'5", 313 out of St. Charles, Missouri, 24.2 years old. Youngest of four siblings, three boys, one girl, hails from St. Charles. His family has a strong athletic background, with both parents having been student athletes at Truman State. His father, T.U., played football, and his mother, Jessica, played volleyball. He's got a brother, Devin, that played college football at Central Missouri as a wide receiver from 2016 to 2020. His brother, Derek, also played at Central Missouri on the offensive line from 2013 to 2018 and signed with the Dallas Cowboys in 2018. Wait, Derek? Derek Pooney? Fair enough. His sister, Brianna, played college basketball at Illinois State from 2011 to 2013 and Eastern Michigan from 2013 to 2015. He is also cousins with A.J. Epinesa, so there's that. At high school, he attended Francis Howell Central High School in Coteleville, Missouri. Started as a defensive end before switching to offensive line as a junior. Initially a no-star recruit, committed to Indiana State, but eventually chose Division II Central Missouri to play with his brothers. Transferred to Kansas after coaching changes and explored other D2 options. That is until a few FBS teams, including Kansas and Minnesota, started showing interest. Pony took a few visits at Lawrence and committed to the Jayhawks in March 2022 with 2 years of eligibility remaining. Some of his strengths: strong upper body, effective hand use, good control and run blocking. Played multiple positions across the offensive line, showing adaptability. Described as having a calm, steady demeanor, praised for his approach to each play. Noted for zero sacks allowed during his tenure at Kansas. Some of the weaknesses: considered high cut with excess weight and lacks ideal arm length for certain positions. Struggles with high pad level, making him susceptible to balance issues. Hand placement can be inconsistent in pass protection. Some quotes: his former offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, says he's going to have a chance because he could play all the positions. As for the scouts, we've got, he's a right tackle, he's not a left tackle. He can play guard and tackle at a backup level and may grow into a starting center. Maybe center is the best position. I like his temperament. Second scout says, much better pass blocker than a run blocker. That screams Packer. He's got talent. Let's go. Okay. He'll flash movement, change of direction, and adjust in pass pro. Final scout says, you love his size and his length and his strength. Has some real foot speed limitations. More of a gap scheme guy. Wouldn't be a great fit in outside zone scheme. So again, that's sort of the other pile of guys, right? They're big, they're strong, they're man movers. You don't want them in zone. As for the injuries, he tore his MCL in his left knee in September of 2021, which led to him missing the majority of the season and took a medical redshirt. Currently projected as a second or third round prospect in the NFL draft. As far as my thoughts, I'd put him in that same category. I mean, his movement isn't terrible, but I think the biggest issue I have is that he just struggles in space. I don't mean like next level. I mean being as a tackle. When guys try to go, you know, around and inside and everything, he really struggles with that. And I feel like the move inside would be beneficial for the most part in terms of just compressing the amount of space that he needs to work with. But yeah, another big dude. And again, if you think he's got enough athleticism to handle what you need him to do, he's certainly an intriguing guy. I think if anything, that the 24 years old is maybe one of the more concerning aspects of his game. So 24, some injury issues, some mobility issues. Again, is it my favorite option? Not necessarily. But I mean, if the other thing too, this is different than tackle and wide receiver, where I'm looking at it going, we have starters. Can you be better than the guys that we have? This is like, if we put him at right guard, can he start? Yeah. I mean, we'll see how Sean Ryan's doing, but you know, I obviously they could end up being really bad. They could end up being a Sean Ryan, but I'm looking at it going, the bar is so low. I feel like at the very least, it's a decent stopgap. So it's just a lower bar. And for that reason, I mean, on top of the fact that I genuinely just like a lot of these interior guys more so than the tackles, it's just a lower bar. Can you play right guard? Of course you can for the Green Bay Packers, because we don't have one. Can you be a low-end starter for us? Because if you can, you can win the job. Next up, we've got Christian Haynes, who is the number three guard for Bob McGinn, the number four guard for Dane Brugler. But Christian Haynes out of Connecticut, 6'2½", 317 pounds, out of Bowie, Maryland, 24 years old. Youngest of three boys, he began playing flag football at age 5, transitioned to tackle at age 6. His passion for football grew as he progressed through youth and, youth football and middle school levels. Attended Bowie High School. He was a 3-year varsity letterman on the offensive line, playing initially at right tackle alongside his older brother. Despite a coaching change, Haynes earned first-team All-County and All-League honors and second-team All-Metro as a senior. He played defensive tackle and wrestled for one season. Haynes was a 2-star recruit, ranked number 216 among offensive tackles nationally, number 49 in Maryland. His recruitment saw him receive offers from multiple FBS and FCS schools, eventually committing to Connecticut. Both of the older brothers played college football. Jonathan played at West Virginia and Stony Brook, briefly joining the Buffalo Bills rookie camp. So that would be Jonathan Haynes. Just trying to piece it together and see if the names sound familiar. It's kind of a common name, so I don't know. And Marcus played at Old Dominion, later signing with the Denver Broncos. He graduated with a degree in human development and family science in May of 2022 and is completing a master's degree in sports management. Participated in the 2024 Senior Bowl. Strengths, technical skills, and play style. Noted for his ability to drive defenders, fitting and sealing in the run game, and his mobility and urgency as a puller. See, that's the kind of stuff that I'm kind of looking for. Excellent timing on combination blocks and has a strong performance in pass protection. Praise for his professionalism and leadership, especially noted by his college head coach, Jim Mora, who described him as an incredible human being who cares deeply about his team and program. Keep that one in the back of your mind, Packers fans. Weaknesses: criticized for not having ideal body type or hand size and has shown inconsistencies in mirroring range. His anchor can be exploited by powerful rushers. He tends to grab too much, which leads to penalties. Exclusively played right guard in college, which might limit his versatility in the NFL. Keep that in mind, Packers fans. Scouts comments: probably my favorite player in the draft. Against Tennessee, who is fighting every freaking play. Change the word a little bit. I've never seen a guy fight more people than he did in that game. He's just an old school, tough, nasty guy. He's explosive and pass pro. He can slide, change directions. He holds a little bit too much, but that's just his over exuberance. I just love his attitude. You take him, you've got a starter and a really good player. That is the most praiseworthy comment I've ever heard from a scout. That's crazy. Another college scout says, my biggest issue with him is the way he looks. He looks like an old man body-wise. Okay, he's not a pretty picture. He just does not have good genetics. But he's a good football player. He's got a little bit of stiffness. He's a good win with... But for added value, you're projecting him as a center, which he's only ever done in practice. I think he can do it. There's no injuries listed or talked about. He's currently projected as a high-level backup or potential starter, second or third round prospect, overall ranking in the big board here, 47th. But yeah, Haynes is hard not to like, man. I mean, he's listed at 6'2", 317. You look at 317, it's like, it's not that big. It's like, yeah, but you put 317 on a 6'2" body. This guy might as well be 335 pounds. He's huge. he really is hard not to like. I mean, he dominates people. Again, he falls into that category of he's big, he's strong. Is he athletic enough? He's also 24 years old, so there's that whole thing. But I mean, he's just a mean guy, man. He eviscerates people. Kind of similar in my mind is the next up, which is Cooper Beebe. Again, I really like Cooper Beebe. I think he could possibly be one of those guys that's big enough and can handle it, but he might not be. But just a big, mean, violent guy. Number 3 on Dane Brugler's guard list. Number 4 behind Haynes on McGinn's list. He is 6'3", 322 pounds from Kansas State, living from Kansas City, Kansas, 22.9 years old. He is the third of four boys. Grew up in an athletic household with his father, Tom, having been a second-team All-American offensive guard at Pittsburgh State, and his mother, Tamara, a basketball player at Kirkwood Community College. His older brother, Colton, played tight end at Minnesota, and his younger brother,
Camden joined Kansas State's 2023 recruiting class. Beebe attended Piper High School in Kansas City, where he began playing varsity football as a freshman, excelling in both offensive and defensive line positions. He also participated in basketball and track, notably in shot put, achieving the best mark among all players in the 2024 NFL draft class. Additionally, he was a power lifter, finishing third in the heavyweight division at the 2019 4A state powerlifting meet. He earned first-team All-State honors as a senior and was a consistent honor student, earning the first-team academic All-Big 12 for four consecutive years, 2020 through 2023. He also became a finalist for the 2023 William V. Campbell Trophy, which is the academic Heisman. So dude is really smart, apparently, or at least a really hard worker. Rated as a three-star recruit, Beebe was the number 93 defensive tackle nationally, number 11 recruit in Kansas in the 2019 class. He received FBS offers from Kansas, Kansas State, and Minnesota, ultimately choosing Kansas State, where he committed to play for Bill Snyder, who was succeeded by Chris Kleiman. Beebe has a wide frame with controlled footwork and strong hands, making him effective in pass protection and run blocking. He's recognized for his football intelligence, vision, and work ethic, described by Kansas State's offensive line, Connor Riley, as an extension of our coaching staff. First team All-Big 12 in 2021, first team All-American in 2022, Big 12 offensive line of the year twice. He served as team captain, showed versatility by playing multiple positions along the offensive line. Some of the weaknesses: his shorter arm reach and average athleticism may limit his effectiveness against certain defensive players. His bench press performance at the combine was notably low, which might concern some NFL teams. He sometimes overextends in his blocking, which could create vulnerabilities against experienced defenders. Had some minor injury issues, missed one game in 2020 due to an unspecified injury, but has been notably durable through his college career, not missing any games in the last three seasons and finishing with 45 straight starts. Scout comments: just a huge upper body brawler, slow feet, limited athlete, no bend, top heavy dude, smart, technique sound, tough guy, but very limited as an athlete. Second scout says: old time offensive lineman mentality, mauler, nasty, not as athletic as some of the others. He can short set and pass pro, but if you ask him to play in space, he's going to have some problems. I like him much more last year, 2022, not as quick or mobile. Third scout says: short arms, like 30-some percent body fat, not a really impressive athlete. He's a tough guy. I'm not going to take that away from him. He can move a defender in the run game. He's similar to Will Hernandez. Hernandez didn't look bad, though. He was just short. Currently projected as a second-round pick, number 38 on Dane Brugler's board. Generally seen as having a pretty high floor as an NFL guard. All right, why don't we take a break? Probably should have taken a break before this last one, but we've only got two left. We got Jordan Morgan in Arizona, and we got Troy Toisi Fa'otanu next up, or Troy Fatanu. Just go with that. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So Jordan Morgan is an interesting one. He is the number two offensive guard in the Beast Guide for Dane Brugler, number seven offensive tackle for Bob McGinn. He's in between Tyler Guyton and Blake Fisher. But Jordan Morgan, 6'5", 311 pounds, fifth-year senior from Marana, Arizona, 22.7 years old, middle child with one brother and one sister. His father, John, is a police officer in Tucson, Arizona. Grew up in the Tucson area and initially attended Chola High School, playing quarterback and tight end. Transferred to Marana High School in his sophomore year due to significant growth spurt. Shifted to offensive line in high school after growing 6 inches and gaining significant weight. Played right tackle and defensive line junior year, contributing to an undefeated season, 12-0. Senior year, moved to left tackle, earning All-State honors and participated in track and field, setting personal records in shot put and discus. Rated as a 3-star recruit, number 138 offensive tackle nationally, number 30 in Arizona. First received offers from Northern Arizona University, followed by Arizona, and late offers from Arizona State and USC. Chose to stay close to home, committing to Arizona. Strengths, exhibits excellent body control and balance in pass sets, strong initiator of contact in the run game, good mobility for pulling and outside plays, leadership qualities praised, named a team captain in 2023. After initial weight management issues, successfully added 60 pounds since college enrollment. Average weaknesses, average lateral mobility and pass protection, prone to drift outside, creating vulnerabilities. Multiple ankle injuries and significant ACL injury have affected his play and durability. So, as far as that, missed games due to left ankle sprain in 2021 and a right knee ACL injury in November of 2022, which did require surgery. Some of the quotes, Brennan Carroll, Arizona offensive coordinator, said, "Fantastic role model. He's a beacon in the weight room, and the guys follow him and get behind him." Scout number one said, "He's a foot athlete. He moves his feet well, moves around well. He isn't real physical." Scout two says, "He'll be ready. He'll be a ready." Good Lord. "He'll be a steady starter, good athlete." Scout three says, "People will start him off at tackle, but maybe ship him inside ultimately." And then Scout four said, "I was hoping to see a jump in his play this year, but didn't see that as much." Seasoned offensive lineman, played 5 seasons at Arizona, adapting well to the team's zone-based scheme under Brennan Carroll. Despite setbacks due to injuries, he displayed notable strength and mobility and technique, projecting as a potential NFL starter. Scouts appreciate his technique and mobility, but note he may need to transition to guard position due to size and physicality concerns. He is projected between a first and second round guy. Obviously, that is the opinion of Dane Brugler, who has a much higher opinion than most. That brings us to the consensus number one guard for both, which is Troy Fautanu. Troy played at Washington, 6'3.5", 317 pounds from Henderson, Nevada. He is 23 and a half years old, born outside of San Francisco, moved to Tacoma, Washington at age 6, then to Utah, and finally Nevada in 2008, attended Liberty High School in Clark County, Nevada, started playing football at the Pee Wee level as a running back or fullback, wore number 43 in homage of Troy Polamalu, played defensive end initially, contributing to an 11-win season and a state championship appearance in 2015, transitioned to offensive tackle during his sophomore year, also played on the defensive line, helped his team win the 2016 conference title, achieved first-team All-League and second-team All-State as a junior and first-team for both in his senior year, also participated in volleyball. He's a 4-star recruit, ranked as the number 23 offensive guard nationally, the number 2 recruit in Nevada for 2019, received almost 24 scholarship offers, narrowed it down to 8, California, Duke, Notre Dame, Oregon, USC, UCLA, Utah, and Washington. Committed to Washington under head coach Chris Peterson and enrolled early in January of 2019. Played mainly left tackle, but also has experience at left guard. Graduated with a degree in real estate in June 2023. All Pac-12 academic honors recipient. 2023 Polynesian College Football Player of the Year finalist and invited to the 2024 Senior Bowl, but withdrew before the event. Strengths, athletic, sturdy frame with long arms, exceptional balance and lateral agility and pass protection, displays grace in movement, especially when climbing to the second and third levels, delivers strong initial punch and can quickly reset his hands, effective in locking onto and controlling defenders in the run game, competent in playing both tackle and guard positions, offers multiple position value at the next, level, developed a leadership voice as a senior, considered a role model in the offensive line room. Weaknesses, sometimes overly aggressive in space, can get penalized for holding due to grabbing too much cloth, vulnerable to inside pass rush moves, occasionally caught leaning on pass sets, will turn 24 years old his rookie NFL season, which could be considered a drawback for long-term development. As far as his injuries, he suffered a foot injury during his first season at Washington, which required surgery. Scout comments, "He may be the best pure athlete of the whole group. I think he'll end up being a guard because he's so quick and mobile. He doesn't have the height or arm length you want for left tackle, but he can play left tackle. I thought he was a dominant player." Scout 2 says, I don't doubt that he can't play tackle, but he'll be a really good guard. Athletic, quick, competitive, really good kid. He can be inconsistent with his technique at times. He can lunge at times, but there's no glaring holes. Scout 3, not an ounce of fat on him. I really, really like the athlete. I could see him playing left tackle because his pass pro is unreal, but he's got some, they love the P word. He's got some P word in him, meaning like mean person. So when I first saw Troy Fautanu, there we go. I think I got it that time. Fautanu. That was my first, it was immediate, like, this is the guy. Because he's the only one that's really big and strong, but also moves well. The only issue I had is the more I watched him, the more I saw him just get beat. And it just kind of wore on me a little bit. I think that's true of most guys, but it's just like he went from being like the perfect prospect to like, eh. But I mean, if you ask who is like the big guy that can move, it's Fautanu. That's who it is. So it's really easy to see why he would be a top guy. I mean, he's like the only one that can do that. So when you look at the full pool, I mean, if you want the one guy that has the upside and ability to be that big mauling guard that has the athleticism, Troy's your guy. I still think Graham Barton might be my favorite. It's, again, really hard because, you know, he's a tackle like a lot of these guys are. So it's kind of hard to tell, but I mean, movement ability, but also just a really good blocker. I mean, I don't want to overstate it. I'm not talking about how good he is or how good he will be, but he's like the only one I watched, and I just felt like I was watching David Bakhtiari. Just the way he moves, he just looks like a good tackle. Again, I know he's not going to play tackle, but it really got me going. And then, you know, you add in he's a good blocker and he can move, and it's just, I dig it. I'm a fan of Graham Barton. I mean, there's a lot of guys I really like. I really like Zach Frazier. Can he handle it? I don't know, but I like him a lot. Jackson Powers Johnson, he's a mauler. I don't think he can really move, but you know what? If you tell me he can, well then, all right. So yeah, I mean, as far as my thoughts, it really just comes down to, for the most part, there's two camps with a couple guys that maybe circumvent that. You've got sort of the lighter guys that can move, which I tend to think the Packers would lean in that direction. You know, I really like Zach Frazier. However, Tanner Bordellini kind of fits more of the, you know, RAS athletic thresholds that the Packers probably would cover it more so than Zach Frazier. Then you've got sort of the bigger Jackson Powers Johnson, Cooper Beebe type guys. And again, if these guys have the ability to move that is sufficient for the Green Bay Packers, I think there's a chance that they could go in that direction. I don't know that I necessarily watched anybody and I was like, I don't like it. This guy's not good. It's just, I didn't necessarily have that. There were two guys that were more or less at the top, with, you know, again, I would love to put Zach Frazier at the top, but he's basically just the top of my favorite of the two buckets. I think Graham Barton he just makes a ton of sense for the Packers. He makes a ton of sense for a lot of reasons. I think he was an incredible tackle. If you're telling me he's too short, doesn't have the arm length to be a tackle, fine. Then I'm still going to call him a great guard, even though I don't know. But I really, really enjoyed watching him. And then Fautanu, again, he kind of lost me a little bit as time went on. But I remember first watching him, you know, he's a big dude. And then when I saw him get out in space, it was like, oh, see, I don't see big guys move like that very much. You know, not you know, I'm not talking he moves like a tight end or anything, but as far as these other bigger offensive linemen go, he just looks different. He just carries his weight better. So anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. The plan right now will probably abandon tight end wide receiver. Tight end because there's not that many, and we probably don't, it's not that big of a deal. Wide receiver, there's a lot of them, but it's not a big need. I'm not anticipating getting a ton, if any, wide receivers in this draft. We'll see how it goes. There's a lot of them, so that ups the possibility that the Packers end up grabbing one. But it's just not something that I think is at the front of mind for a lot of Packer fans in terms of getting to know them. So with interior offensive line done, looking at the list, we've got safety, defensive tackle, and edge left. So I'm going to try to get those done as soon as possible to leave a little bit of buffer room to be able to kind of do an overall recap, kind of get caught up on things, as far as where everybody's at, the rumors, the news, the notes, all that stuff for the last couple days before the draft. And we'll see how it goes. That is open to potentially change. But you guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.